Because that's how it gets you to the next storm. How do we know storms are coming? Storms will come, and they will come, and they will come in trials and tribulations, but you got to stand with the Lord. You got to stand right next to Him. You got to trust Him as a child trusts their mother. Daddy's hands, be with you. Thank you. Absolutely. Let His presence be felt in this house. Let go of everything on your mind today. Get it out. Let it go. And come back in as a child today. Trusting in Him. Trusting in Him as you did when you were just so little that you trusted your mom and your dad no matter what. Just trust Him today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. Give Him praise, please. He got to a point and everybody in the church stood up and started clapping and thinking, yeah, that's good. Man's a man of God, hallelujah, beautiful sermon. And just sometimes it's nice to turn on and listen to somebody talking about God, talking about the Bible, and talking positive, amen? Because this book is positive. This book is hope for the people that don't have hope. So many people are lost because they don't have Jesus. That's what I believe. You might not, but I believe it. I believe God can do all things. I believe He's done all things for us. I believe He got us here through everything that you've been through, and I bet you can write it down and fill a book with all the things that He carried you through all your life. All the dangerous times, all the bad times, all the good times. We need to remember the good times. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works, declaring your name is near. Yes, He will. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly.
For in the hand of the Lord is your crossbow, and the line was red, and full of goodness, and you will lift your hearts down. Surely it will be great all to the earth for the very end of
your God. Hallelujah. God is so good. How many have faith in God like that? I mean, really, if you do, just say thank you, Lord. I mean, this faith that I'm talking about, this childlike faith, we're going to talk about it today. Not to be a childish, not childish, but childlike faith. And God calls us to this reason. He calls us to, in fact, the Bible says He commands us to have childlike faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, Iman. Hallelujah. Thank you. Woo! Woo! How does all Scripture come to us? How does it come? By seeking, by praying, or by inspiration of God? How does all Scripture come to us? How many think by seeking? I'm going to seek and seek. How about by praying when I pray? How about by inspiration of God? Hallelujah. Think about that for a minute. All Scripture comes to you by inspiration of God. That means God is talking to you. Brother John is talking to you. He's not talking to you like He's talking to me. We're really kind and loving. But understand, Deacon Sergio, what he says to you is not what he says. So your inspiration comes from God. That's why we got to have these open. And sometimes our lips shut. Oh my God. You see that? That's the truth. Who said in your Bible that the time of my departing is at hand? Who said in your Bible the time of my departing is at hand? Was it David? Was it Jesus? Was it Paul? Who said the time of my departing is at hand? Was it David that said that? Anybody, David? How about Jesus? Was it Jesus that said that? How about Paul? Anybody, Paul, that said that? I am ready to be offered. Paul said that. I am ready to be offered. Lord, I'm ready. And listen, I don't want y'all to get to that point, amen? I want that to be 100 years from now before you get to that point. But you start reading what Paul went through, and you'd probably say, I'm ready. He got stoned 3 times. He was shipwrecked a bunch of times. He got thrown in prison. He got locked in chains. His time was ready. Yeah. And you know the gift that God gave him? He let him see the third heaven. He brought Paul up to a place no man had seen before, just to show him. Just to give him that little more encouragement like he did. He does that in the Bible all the time. And he'll do that for you. He'll give you just enough. Give you that little encouragement. Maybe somebody will say something you didn't expect them to say. Gives you that encouragement. God does that. He does that. How do you know if someone is of God? The This is pretty big. This is really good. How do you know if somebody is of God? Because they tithe? Maybe. Because they know the Bible? Maybe. How about acknowledge Christ that he has come in the flesh? How do people know if someone is of God? How many think because they tithe? Oh, yeah, they tithe. They're of God. How about they know the Bible? Oh, they know the Bible. They're of God. Who else knows the Bible? Anybody? Satan knows the Bible. Yes, he does. How about acknowledge Christ has come in the flesh? Yes. I love my church. I love my church is becoming a Bible church. That's the greatest gift you can give me, and we can give him, and you can give this ministry. Look around right now, please. Look around and see your brothers and sisters. You don't have to like everything they say, everything they do, whatever they wear, but you have to understand they're your brothers and your sisters. And the Bible says we're supposed to do one thing with each other, uplift each other, to lift up each other. When you're happy, everybody should be happy. When you're sad, everybody should mourn. When you need prayer, everybody should pray. But the testimonies have to come. What God has done for you in this house with your brothers and your sisters. You don't know what other people are praying for. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You think you got a lot of, but you don't know what I'm praying for and what Sandy's praying. You don't know what everybody's praying for. So when something happens, say, did somebody pray for that? And you lift up your brothers and you say, that's what it says. Acknowledge Christ has come in the flesh. Everybody in this room does. That's a beautiful thing. That's how we know they're of God. How they know they're of God. He that loves not knows not what. He that loves not knows not what. Knows not himself. Knows not his brother. Or knows not God. He that loves not knows not what. Knows not himself. If he doesn't love, he knows not himself. How about his brother? He knows not his brother. He who loves not knows not God. Anybody? Oh, man. Lord. Lord. Hallelujah. God is love. If you cannot love, you can't know him. And my favorite three words of the Bible, I probably every word's favorite. Love never fails. What does that mean? God never fails. When you love and it's here, even though you go, any husband and wife, Walter and Jean, you've been married 74 years. Have you ever fought together? Have you ever had an argument? Because love never, hallelujah, you guys are good today. You really are. I can't even tell you. It's so beautiful. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that great? Oh, you guys got all the questions right today. And they weren't easy. Oh, they must have been because you got them all right. Thank you, Lord. Let's get into the word this morning. I'm going to get to this. The first page of my message today could be actually the last page. Because this message comes in full circle. It's easy to understand. I like that. It's easy to understand because the Bible says the simplicity of God. The simplicity that is God. Great faith and peace and joy. How many have great faith and peace and joy until trials and tribulations? Uh-oh. They tear at us. Your trials and tribulations will tear at you. I know it's true. They'll wear you down. Things that were not a problem before become a problem now because you're getting worn out because of the trials and tribulations. Issues that you had under control are no longer under control. Why? They didn't change, but you changed because the trials and something came against you and you became weak in faith, oh Lord, between each other. Who wants that? Who wants the people in Christ to fight? I know who, the Antichrist. Satan wants you to fight. Think about that. Who's responsible? We know who it is. Satan. For the trials and tribulations. God never gives you trials and tribulations. Who gives it to you? Satan. So when you have them, you got to join closer together. Hallelujah. Get back to God. The simplicity. Because he has it. Why? Because love never fails. Why? Because God never fails. The simplicity that is of Christ. That's the biggest. That's the Bible. That's Jesus. You believe Jesus. That's simple. You believe him. Some people don't even want to recognize. Acknowledge. He didn't exist. I mean, but you believe him. In your heart. Amen? You love him. In your heart. It's simple to love him when you love him. It's peace. And right there. Amen? It's Jesus that binds you together. Not each other, but Jesus brought you together. Jesus brings you together. How many believe that? God has a hand in everything we do. I believe it. Yes. You can clap. That's not good. The simplicity. Listen. The simple, honest receptivity of divine truth. Uncomplicated. Willingness to accept. And the best word, uncompromised. We don't compromise this Bible. We don't ever compromise it. We don't ever compromise the Word of God. We don't have to. The world wants us. You understand that? The world wants you to compromise this. And who's the world, Satan? Whose world is this, Satan? You see the trials out there? Who's doing it? Satan. And he wants you to compromise it. Just one minute, one more over there. It really ain't gonna sit anymore. Okay. Childlike faith, believing the promises, a trusting spirit, dependence on God, our Heavenly Father. Why? Because God cannot lie. Do you believe that? I know when you're going through something, and I know we're all going through, when you're going through something, it's hard to say God cannot lie because you feel like you need more help, but he can't lie. Hallelujah. His word removes all the noise. Understand that. If you get really confused and you get flustered, no, go back to his word. Because it removes man's opinion. All of a sudden you're in his word now and you're not in man's opinion. All of a sudden your feelings over faith, because that's what happens when trials come. Your feelings get over your faith. You feel this way. I feel this way. So your faith suffers. But bring the faith before feeling again. Hallelujah. It removes all the noise. It really does. You say, okay, God, I believe. What Christ has done for us. And I'm going to ask you again to remember all the things that he's done for you to get you right to this day in 2024. You were praying for something 10 years ago. I know you were. And you were in the middle of something 10 years ago thinking this will never end. But guess what? It ended. What happened? Oh, you took care of it. But you say that's easy till trials and tribulations. But this is, listen to this, this is exactly how and why God commands us to be. God has commanded you to do something. To have that childlike faith. To have that faith that says, I believe. He's commanded us to do. Why? Because it saves us. It protects us. It heals us. How many want to be healed? I want to be healed. It does all those things. God has promised us that. The darkness of evil. Can anybody disagree with how bad evil can get? It's throughout all our history. The sacrifice of children. Let me say this again. Throughout all that history, the sacrifice of children. Baal, the god, goes after children. Baal was the god of Moloch. Baal was an antichrist. Baal was a false prophet. Baal was the devil. He went after children. And it's in your Bible, and I'll read in your bulletin. Let's read it together. Jeremiah 32. I just want you to hear. And you have said to me, O Lord, how buy the field for money and take witnesses. And that's not the right one. Sorry. Sorry, Marilyn. Probably my fault. But I actually, just in case, I have it right here. Listen to this. And they build the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and daughters to pass through the fire to Moloch, which I did not command them, nor did it come into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judas to sin. Judah to sin. He's saying back in the day that they actually sacrificed children to their God. Imagine that. They sacrificed children. They took children and put them on the fire, and the parents brought their children and put them on the fire to sacrifice to their gods. And God said, that's an abomination. I never said to do that. In fact, God said, I never even thought of doing that. Satan's only game in town is to do anything against God. Evil knows no end. Trust me, please. People say things can get worse. Bill Cosby used to say, and it was funny, but it's true. Don't ever say things can get worse. Because guess what? Worse happens. He knows God. He knows the Word. And Satan is foolish enough to think that he can win. Imagine that. He's still doing it. He thinks somehow he can pull this off. He can win the game at the end. So he stops at nothing. Perhaps what is happening today makes sense to us now. We're in spiritual battles. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's in your bulletin. That's what we're fighting. Spiritual battles. We're not fighting. We're fighting against spiritual. We're fighting against the Antichrist. We're fighting against Satan. Hallelujah. He knows no end. Spiritual battles. Let me read what the Bible says. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. What does he come for? What is he coming for? To steal, to kill, and do what? And who does he want? You. He wants you. That's all he wants. He wants to get you to change your mind. One person at a time. He wants you, Jim, to say one day, okay, I give up. I don't even believe that. He wants one spirit, and he's going to go after each spirit. That's his only game. That's his only thing. And he thinks if he can do that, he wins. But Satan is a liar. In fact, the Bible says he's the father of all lies. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But here's what God said. I have come that they may have life. Hallelujah. So I ask you this morning, when I'm talking about all this stuff going on, why children? Why babies? What does evil know? Hallelujah. What does it mean? Why? Why the babies? Giving it to God is total commitment of the heart. Amen? Giving it to God is total commitment of the heart. Why? To trust Him. Because God said so. God cannot lie. And that's where mountains are moved. How many have ever heard that scripture? You know, you believe and you can move a mountain. Have faith enough and you can move a mountain. Well, that's what it is. If you have childlike faith, if you just believe that God said so and I believe it, you can move the mountains. The problems and the things in your life can move because you have the faith in Him, not you. You can't do anything without Him, but with Him you can do all things. So that childlike faith is where the mountains are moved in your life. The way God intended it to be. Let me say that again. I'm not telling you something. I'm telling you the way God intended it to be. Thank you, Lord. Childlike faith in Him. So why is evil attacking our children? Born and unborn. I'm going to get real here. They're attacking our children today, right today, born and unborn. Can anybody disagree with that? No, you can't. I know you can't. A sacrifice without compassion. I've said that many times. If you're pro-abortion, that's fine, but where's your compassion? Because that's a baby. I don't care what your choice is. You make your choice, but that's a baby. Can you have some compassion on the life that you're going to destroy? Maybe he was going to cure cancer. Maybe he was going to cure diabetes. Maybe he was going to cure all the things we're going to... You don't know what that baby was going to do. Maybe he was the next Michael Jordan, the best Mickey Mantle, or maybe he was the best Einstein, or the greatest doctor in the world. You don't know who you destroy. When you go to God someday and say, how can you let all these diseases go? He said, he might just say, well, I sent him. I had him ready to go. I had her ready to go. She was going to do great mighty things. But no, you took her life before she was born. Think about that. So why is evil attacking our children, the born and unborn? Giving our children over to others who do not share our values. Think about this. Not share our God, not share our home and our moral values. They're confusing them. Folks, this is a spiritual battle. What they're doing today is taking away our children's childhood And this bothers me completely because I had the greatest childhood. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Mom and Dad. I had the best. I had the Three Stooges. I had Bugs Bunny. I had Yosemite Sam. I had the best childhood. Rode my bicycle. I had the best childhood. And they're trying to take away our children's childhood. Their innocence, their joy. When you're a child, you only have a few years to be free, not to worry about anything, not to care who you are, what you're doing. You're just having fun. You're playing in a puddle. Anybody here ever play in a puddle? Then you get to an age and say, I can't play in a puddle anymore. Why? Well, you're an adult. Heck with that, I'm getting in a puddle. But see, when a kid is 5 years old, 8 years old, the greatest gift to him is rain and a puddle on the corner. Gonna put a boat on. No, I'm gonna jump in it. Shoes get wet, socks get wet, pants, and they're in their glory. Then they play in the mud. The girls play in the mud.
Yes, they do.
Not really, right? You girls in Spain. We ought to do the hopscotch thing.
No, mud all the way.
Mud all the way?
Tops of the trees.
My kind of girl. Their children, they're stealing, Satan is stealing our children's childhood. Free to just be a child. Those years in life without worry, confusion of who they are and what they are. I'm going to get serious here, guys. They're taking away mom and dad. I see it all the time. Your parents don't need to know. What? What? Who ever thought that 20 years ago to say, well, your parents don't need to know? My mother would have had it. My dad, you kidding me? And I know my wife. If they told her 20 years ago that you don't need to know, she'd have been in that school and the kids have been out of school, or it would be really bad hell of a day. They're taking away prayer at the dinner table. You pray with your kids at the dinner table? What? Well, we don't do that anymore. Well, the kids don't even eat dinner at the table. What are you talking about? That's the most important time where a family comes together and mama makes a meal or daddy makes a meal and you all eat it together. They're taking that away. This is what they're taking. You're going to laugh. I know you are, but it's so real to me. They're taking Santa Claus away. How can Santa Claus, when you're 8 years old, Santa Claus is like, oh my God, Santa's coming! Why would you take that from a little child who has only those 3 or 4 years to enjoy Santa Claus? The Easter Bunny. How about the Tooth Fairy? Let's just take that too. Hallelujah. Born in the cabbage patch. Anybody remember that? Am I really old to remember that? You say, where were you born? Oh, you were born in the cabbage patch. You're like 8 years old. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. Where did that come from? The cabbage patch. So you walk around thinking, did that hurt? No. Why are you taking cartoons? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Merry Melodies. Bugs Bunny. Yosemite Sam. Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
Although the more I realized, Jim, you had to be older to enjoy Foghorn. Because you didn't quite know what he was saying. Get away from me, boy. I'd say, boy. Say, boy, ain't no chicken boy over there. That's the chicken boy. Ain't no chicken.
How about the Roadrunner?
You mean? One of these days, he's going to get them. They're taking away right and wrong. They're telling us what's right isn't right and what's wrong is right. They're doing that. Elmer Fudd. Hello. Webbing. They're taking away the difference between a boy and a girl. Listen to me. They're taking away the difference between a boy and a girl. When you're 8 years old, you're a boy and a little girl. You're the girl next door. But they're taking that away to our children. They're going to our children's house and taking that away. The difference between a boy and a girl. And they're taking God away. There you go. They're taking God, Jesus, and heaven away from all that. No love, no. Right and wrong. And they say, oh, there's no God. There's really no God. Oh, no. He does not exist. Oh, yeah, God's a woman, by the way. The Bible is a lie. It's full of hate. God, listen to this. When you remove God, everything and anything else goes. When you can remove God from any part of anybody's life, everything and anything else is okay. When you remove God, everything goes to hell. That's the truth. That's the truth. When you remove God from your house, from your home, from your children, everything goes to hell. When you can tell a child that the Bible, you know, oh, that don't really is full of hate. There's just, just hateful things in there. Oh, don't believe God. Oh, don't believe your mom and dad. Oh, don't believe what I'm telling you. Everything goes. Why? I think I have the answer. Matthew 18, listen to this. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is it Peter? Is it John? Who is it, Lord? The greatest in heaven. They were arguing. The disciples were walking behind. I'm going to be greater. You can be greater. No, I'm going to be greater. No, Matthew, no, Timothy, no. I'm gonna. They were arguing with themselves who would be the greatest in heaven. So they went, Lord, who's going to be the greatest in heaven? Let me tell you somebody else that was listening that you all want to miss. I know you never thought of it, but maybe you did. Satan was listening to that conversation. Satan was walking right along with him here. And who's going to be the greatest? And he's just kind of got his arms rolling. So what are you going to say about that, Jesus? Because he pays attention. We all know it. Said, don't say things out loud like that. Let him know. Because he doesn't know your thoughts. So he's standing there with his arms folded wind. And Jesus called a little child to him. Set him in the midst of them. In the middle. And said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, Walter, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Y'all ever hear that before? Whoever humbles himself as this little child will be the what? Greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Satan says, okay, I got it. I heard you. Satan's a fool. He's a liar. He's a dope. But he says, okay, now I know what to do. I'll go after the children. I'll go after them at home. I'll go after them at school. I'll go after them on the TV. I'll go after them with smartphones. Lord, we give 10-year-old smartphones. And I'll go after them on computer. Because I'm going to go after the children. Because if I get the children, I get the greatest of heaven. And heaven won't be anymore. Because there won't be anybody great there. Because I heard Jesus say so. The greatest in heaven is like a little child. He misses like that. But he always like that with Satan. Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Then he said, I'm going after the kids. Y'all see that today? Jesus said, whoever, and that's you, whoever receives one little child like this in my name, receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Y'all heard that before?
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. One more time with me, because it's just... Everybody said, right, Fred? Oh, Jesus is nice. Jimmy, oh, he's nice. Jesus is loving. Oh, he's kind. Oh, Jesus is faithful. He would never do anything. Oh, he's just a real sinner. Yeah. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That's the wrath of God. That's real too, amen? That's real. Anybody who causes these little children to sin, who believe in him, heaven, Lord, thank you. Poof. Get out of the way. You understand what he's saying? You understand that Satan missed that one? It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck. Oh, good old nice Jesus, huh? Jesus humbled himself. How many know that's true? He was God, and he came to earth to be man, then he was glorified back to God. He humbled himself. He did it for all of us. He humbled. Which is gracious and kind. Understand that. Caring. Not seeking attention. Not seeking your own. Not judgmental. But understanding, and one more thing Jesus was, he was uplifted. He went to the sinners, did he not? He went to the poorest of poor, did he not? And what did he do? He uplifted. He held him up. He stood him up. He did say to the woman, go and sin no more. He said, you don't have a free ride, and I don't want to. He said, go with it. But he lifted her up. He lifted up all the people that some of us would walk by because he saw their heart. He saw their pain, and he wanted to heal their pain. He lifted up all the sinners. He was humble like that. He wasn't above people. He wasn't unapproachable. In fact, he was the opposite of unapproachable. He got right down there. He got right down in the dirt with the people. Right down with the kids, holding on to the kids. This Jesus that we love, that's who he was. He was humble. God, if you were God, I don't know, would you humble yourself to be a man for a while? But he did it. And here's where the beginning and the middle comes back to the beginning. Jesus held that child. But he's talking to all of us. All of us today. Whoever humbles himself as this child. That's what he said. As. That's a little word that you read in your Bible. Sometimes you fly right over. As. Who humbles himself as this little child. We are his children. Yet we struggle at times. We are weak in faith. You all admitted that last week. How many times have you all been? We're all weak in faith at one time or another. That's why we got to hold each other. He knows that he knows us, yet he calls us to trust him, his word, his love. He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows your faults, yet he calls you to trust him. If evil can get to our children, somehow evil can keep them from God, from Jesus. So evil is attacking our home, our future, their future. At the cost of their education. I'm getting real today, amen? I'm getting real today. They're not only hurting our children morally and all that, but they're hurting their education, their ABCs, their writing, their math. Their science, they're falling. We're falling behind. Our children are falling behind because they're not worried about that. They're worried about the sins. They're worried about the vulgarity. They're worried about teaching them something other than God. So don't give them ABCs. That ain't no good. Don't let them learn something that might help them. They're hurting our children. They're falling back to even sacrifice babies before they're born. No different than it was in the book of Jeremiah. No different. They're sacrificing babies. They're taking babies. And they're fighting about how long they can hold the baby before they sacrifice the baby. There is zero compassion. Zero care. Oh, I'm here in 9 months. Thank you, Lord. Lord, forgive them. But they're sacrificing our future. They're sacrificing hope. They're sacrificing everything for us. As I said, that child that wasn't born, God may have given him the wisdom to heal cancer. The most insidious disease, my daddy and my brothers. It's just, we want somebody to come and heal it. And who's not to say that they gave that baby away? By sacrificing that baby. Hallelujah. By sacrificing our children, we're giving our future away. But they don't care. See, the devil doesn't care about our future, so he'll destroy our future and there'll be nothing left. Evil, Satan, and darkness. Last page. God sees and God knows. And it says in Matthew, listen to this. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come. But woe to that man whom by whom the offenses come. Satan's world. Sin and hate. Yet we are not of this world. God will deal with them because he sees and he knows. But we are his. We are faith. We are children. God says so, I believe it. God says so, I believe it. Simple. Like running into a mama's arms. You remember that feeling? When you fell down and you had to go with mom and dad and you just had to be, your knee hurt, your foot hurt, and you had to run to mama. You got afraid of something, the boogeyman, and mama was there and all was well. That kind of faith. In the darkest of days, we need to be closer to God. We need to draw closer. And I ask you to imagine this for just 1 second, not too long. If you had no faith and knew nothing of God, of Jesus, or a prayer. Imagine where you'd be right now. You'd be out there in the world lost like so many people are. Thank you, Lord. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, our Father, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. As he gave us that commandment, we are to do what? Love one another. We need to build this church up. We need to build each other together by loving each other. Love each other. You don't have to like each other, but you have to love each other because we're all children. You're looking at brothers and sisters in this house this morning. As this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another as he gave us commandment. In Jesus' name, give him praise. We're not supposed to be childish. We're supposed to be childlike. We're going after our children because that's our future. And Satan thinks that that's the biggest in the kingdom of heaven, if he can take away our children. And you're seeing it every single day. You're hearing about it every single day, what they're doing in school, what they're doing on TV, what your kids on your smartphones and your kids on. There's nothing wrong with smartphones and computers. Heaven knows they're great inventions. They're great discoveries, but kids aren't going outside and play anymore. You can't get a kid away from the street, and you know that they're going to have the attention of not mom and dad, but somebody else that you don't know. So hallelujah. But we just need to pray. We need to stay in prayer and be aware. We need to be able to see it and say what it is when we see it and call it wrong and call it evil and call it Satan. When we're sacrificing children, we're sacrificing babies. We need to say, that's wrong. Can you have compassion? Let's talk about compassion, not choice. You made a choice. You made a two choice. You made seven or eight choices before you got to that place. So let's have compassion because we see what's going on. Hallelujah. Thank you. This is childlike faith. I sang the song today, Brother Cross. So I'll cherish the old Brother Cross. Childlike faith. What we're going to do right now is you believe. You simply believe. That's what God is asking us to do. We don't know who we're going to become or what we're going to become. We just have to believe that everything he has for us is greater than we can even imagine. That's the best part of it all. Anything that you can imagine God can do for you, he can do great, and he will do great. That's great. He's not just going to give you a little bit. He's going to give you more. The more you ask, the more he said, yes. I will lift you up. I will lift you higher. I will lift you higher and higher if you will trust him. And that's what this is. He took the bread and rested and broke it. We weren't there. He blessed it and he said, this is my body being torn for you. Okay, I wasn't there. But we understand why he did it. And he said, eat and do this in remembrance of me. And we do this morning in Jesus' name. Childlike faith. Lord, forgive us for the iniquities of this week. Forgive us when we worry, Lord. Forgive us when we're worried about things, Father. We need to give it to you. Forgive us for our iniquities. Forgive us for our thoughts and our deeds. Forgive us for our lack of faith when we were weak in faith. Lord, lift us up now. Heal us, Lord. Bring us together as a family. Right now in this minute, this is our family. Let's bring each other together. Let's lift each other up so that we can be stronger as a family. So we can show the world what it means to be a Christian. To show the world what this church, this beautiful church is all about. Your church, where you've come to hear the word of God. We need to show them what it's all about, what the truth is about this place, that we love and serve Jesus and he forgives us. And we need to forgive each other. Lord, receive this. Lord, we want this sacrament. He poured the wine into a cup saying, this is my blood being shed for you. For the remission of your sins. Is that not enough? And he said, drink and do this in remembrance of me in Jesus' name. I want to sit there. Somebody be healed this morning. We lift up those that we love that are in need this morning. For the miracle worker to do the miracle. For God to touch those that are in need this morning. touch each other in this church this morning and give us peace and strength. Give us that extra thing that we can't even understand. But somehow we know that you're there. And somehow our peace will grow. And somehow we can bond together. And those issues that were coming, they're gone. And the problems that arose because we were awake, they're gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because that's a healing too. When we get past the disagreements, we get past the issues and come together in God. That's a healing in this church and in your life. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise, church. What a beautiful day. Maybe now we know more about why they're going after the little ones. Why they're going into schools after our little ones. Russian boys used to call them mush boys. So they had mush boys. There's a reason. Now you know the reason. Now you understand more about God and you understand what he's trying to tell us to be. Childlike for each other. Jesus, beautiful. Miss Jean, how did it work out? Hey. Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Whew. Happy Father's Day, y'all, Dad.
And to you.
Can't say Grandpa because it's Grandpa Day. That's in September. But happy Daddy Day. My daughter called me this morning. She sent me a card. She sent us a gift certificate to Texas Roadhouse.
Albert Einstein, who was questioned, or like I said, it's the internet's whether it was true or not, but there's a lesson. A professor asked him something about, you know, God created everything. So, coal, did God create coal? No, he created warmth. But the professor argued there's a word for coal, and Albert Einstein answered, coal is merely the absence of heat. So when we ask how cold it is, we're not saying, you know, you don't measure the cold, you measure the fact that it's not warm enough outside. And the same thing with light. God did not create darkness. Darkness existed before God created light. So when you say it's really dark outside, you know, the moon isn't out, or the moon's only half full, or the moon's quarter full, or whatever else, you're actually measuring the absence of light when you look for darkness. So, when we measure evil, we're measuring the lack of good and the lack of God, how far someone is from God, from evil.
Oh, it's good. We need to tell more people about our good times, about our joy. We certainly got to, how many good problems you tell people about your problems all the time, right? So tell them about your good. If they don't want to hear it, we'll tell somebody else.
White with foam.